Good evening. We spoke yesterday about the fact that the drying of the hand is part of the mitzvah. Having understood that, we can proceed to Sifyut Beis and Sifyut Gimel. Okay, so first of all, Sifyut Beis tells us, Ve'inakveim heitev koidem sheyivtza, you should dry your hands properly before you before you eat the bread, you should dry your hands. Make sure to dry your hands before you actually eat the bread. Sho'eichal b'linigov yodayim, because a person who eats without having dried his hands, ke'ilu, it's as if oichal lechem tome, it's as if he eats tome, impure bread. It doesn't really eat impure bread, but it's as if he ate impure bread. The reason Mishnah Berurah explains if kot mem hay as follows: lechem tomei kosva beis Yosef dehainu mishum da mayim arishonim sheshoifach al yadayim, the first water you pour on your hands tmeim hay. We are assuming that your hands are tomei. You pour with water over your hands. What happens to the water? The water becomes tomei from your hands. Shenitmu machmas yodov, the water becomes tummy because of your hands. Kele kamon sim kuf samach beis. Ve'af the shoyfech maim shniim l'tayra maim. And although you're pouring a second time water over your hands, k'nisa sham, that's what you do. After shoyfech maim shniim l'tayra maim, we pour a second time water over the wet hands. Mikol makom nevertheless lechatchil etzorich la'avir es harishonim l'mgamri al yedei niguv. Ideally, you have to dry your hands just to ensure completely that there is no tomei water on it. So in other words, we are only assuming that the hands are completely, completely pure once you have dried them. Before that, you have to assume that there's some impurity left on your hands and on the water, and therefore the niguv is part of the mitzvah. Niguv is part of the mitzvah, and if somebody eats without having dried his hands, it's as if he actually would have made tomei again the bread from your hands. It's not really tomei, but we're assuming that to some extent you've got your hands which got tomei water on it. Now you're touching the bread. We're assuming that hands are tomei, made the water tomei, makes the bread tomei. So therefore you need to ensure that you actually dried your hands. See if Yud Gimel goes a little bit further in this point and says as follows: a matpil yodov. What happens if somebody is in a loch that we haven't learned yet? It's a loch of matpil yodov, somebody who doesn't wash his hands for a moitzi, but he dips his hands in water. Okay, that's halachas that we're going to learn later. It actually works. If you haven't got pouring water, you can actually be matpil yodov. Ever done that? Ever done it? Matpil yodov? Flowing. Okay, we'll talk about all those details, yeah? So there is a concept of matpil yodov. You dip your hands in water in order to clean them. So a matpil yodov, somebody's matpil yodov, yochel lechol b'lo niguv, he won't need to dry them. There's no intrinsic need of drying them. It may be a good idea, but you don't need to dry them. V'adil noitel yodov bevas achas, v'shoyfech aleim revi'is mayim bevas achas. Similarly, if somebody pours revi'is water on both hands simultaneously, I don't know how you manage to do that. You probably need to use your mouth or a friend of yours or I don't know what. But if you wash both hands simultaneously with revi'is water, or if you pour it on one hand and then afterwards you put on the other hand revi'is, then again you wouldn't need to dry them. The Mishnah Berurah explains that. What's the reason for this? Somebody who dips his hands in the water, there will never be a problem of the water having become tomei, because you have your tomei hands and you dip them in water, your hands become automatically tohoy, but you didn't make all the water around the tomei. You didn't. So therefore, you don't need to, once you've picked them up again, you're taking them out of the water, you don't need to dry them to remove the tomei. It's totally removed. The tomei is totally removed already. So by dipping it in and taking it out, the tumah is removed and you don't have to dry it. Yeah. Because the only reason why the water, which is when you're washing your hands, the only reason why the hands become tumah is because it's on your hands, not a significant amount, and it's becoming tumah from your hands. However, if it's you're putting it in a huge amount of water, then it's not going to become tumah. Yeah, but that water is not tumah water. You never became tumah that water. As opposed to, if you're pouring water on it, then that water becomes tumah. It's like, yeah.
Okay, good. Moving on.
Simukofnum test is a new topic altogether. Hello, Isai. Can you wash your hands with a plastic cup? Have you had that shaila ever before? Plastic cup. You don't have a proper keli. And you want to now wash your hands with a plastic cup. Works or doesn't work? Pardon? But yeah, but it does work. If it doesn't touch.
If this is the cup, you can't touch wet and then touch the other wet. So you can't connect the two wet hands.
Can't connect both wet hands, but otherwise, the kli, as far as the kli is concerned, it's fine. Is it choshuv? Plastic cup. Is it choshuv?
Depends on the cup.
Depends on the cup. Good. So if it's a normal plastic cup.
Disposable cups.
Disposable is no good. Disposable cup, lacking in chashivas. Plastic cup? What about those? What are those called?
Paper
cups? Can you wash your hands from with that?
What does the cup have to be?
Why does it need to be choshuv? Who says it needs to be choshuv?
It's the water we're interested in.
Right? It's the water we're interested in. Why does it need to be choshuv? Very, very good. That's mamash. We'll see. So one of the poskim says that. Okay, we're going to be addressing this question. What about a cup which has a hole? A little bit leak. What if it leaks a bit? Even if it's a tiny bit, like just dripping. Still a problem.
Siman kof nun tes. Basically, neutlin hayodaim. Which keli is acceptable for netilas yodaim? The kate said, Yavoya maim liyodav, and how do the water actually need to reach your hands? Okay. Ein, Siv Aleph. Ein, noite liyodaim, elu bekeli. First of all, we need to be aware that every netilas yodaim needs to be happening through a keli. It needs a keli, it needs a vessel. So if you're going to have water coming down in a way which is not coming from a vessel, from a keli, it's no good. It needs a keli. It needs a keli. V'chol ha-kelim cherim. Any keli is kosher. Any keli is kosher. Afilu, even, klei galolim. Kelim which is made through galolim, through dung. Perish kelim asui merefesh boko ve'ofor. Even if you have got keli which is being created from offer, from dirt, and from refesh boko, from the cow's manure, everything mixed together, and you've somehow made a keli out of this. Don't know how you make keli out of this, but somehow it's possible. V'chle avonim, if it's made out of stones. Can you imagine a keli out of stones? Made out of stone? Okay. V'chle adoma, if it's made out of earthenware. V'tzorich she'machzik revis. And it must be machzik, it must contain a revis. How much is a revis? 86. 86, I call it Reb Chaim. No. Kibati of kois. And according to Chazanesh, 150, that's right. Kois Hogun, that's right. Very good. So either 86 cc or 150. So that's in a cup. Have you got a cup here somewhere? It's really not a lot. In a cup, plastic cup, it's probably that much. And 150, that much about? Yeah? That's 180? How much is 8 ounces? About?
220.
So it's about, it's about 3/4 according to Chazanish. And according, can you show about Chazanish? About Chazanish is like this, and according to Chamno? Like this. That's how much you need to wash. Yeah? And that's how big the kli needs to be. It needs to be machzik revis. It needs to be able to contain that. Okay. So, Cholak kelim kshayim. Mishnah Berurah in Seif Katan Beis says the following: Cholak kelim kshayim. Hainu bein shel eitz, whether it's made out of wood, oy etzem, if it's made out of bones, oy zchuchit, it's made out of glass. V'chein klei oyer, even if it's made out of leather. Shemuchotim lekabel mashke, if they can accept, if it can hold liquids. Ke lekabon seif dalet ein sham. Afilu even. Hainu after kol davar elu einum chashuvim kli klal leinim kabolas tuma. Although normally they're not considered, with regards to Hilchas Tumah, they're not considered a keli. Afilu medivrei sofrim, even rabbinically, it's not considered a keli for some areas of halacha. Al kol ponim keli mehim v'ksherim elin natilas yadayim. As far as natilas yadayim is concerned, any keli is acceptable. Glass, leather, stone, wood, any keli is acceptable. Good. Now, okay. Having learned this critical line of the Shulchan Aruch, we're now ready to approach the shaila of plastic cups and paper cups. Is it acceptable to wash hands with it or not? Anything? Anything that was available. So Rav Kagan says, anything that was available then is included, so surely anything that is like available nowadays should be included as well. Therefore, plastic cup, says Rabbi Kagan, should be fine. Anybody disagrees with that? Yeah.
Is it the same as inflatable?
As what as?
Inflatable.
Inflatable. Okay, inflatable is a different shaila. It's a very interesting shaila. Let's leave this out though. It's a very interesting shaila. It's an interesting shaila. Yeah? Oh, says Moshele, that could be that it's different because it's disposable. And indeed, Moshele goes in the steps of Dain Weiss Zichroni Livrocha, who in a Tshuva in Chelek Yud says, Tshuva written in the 1980s, I don't know what happened before, when was this disposable, when did it start developing? Anybody knows? 1980s? I would have thought it's before that. Does anybody remember the 1970s? Okay, it's a shayla, which was a tshuva which was written in 1986, I think. Dan Weiss asked that shayla, and he asked, "Can you wash hands in Netilas Yadayim with a plastic cup?" And he says the following. He said, "Don't bring me a raya. You have no proof whatsoever from this Shulchan Aruch. Kol hakelim kshirim. Any keli is kosher." You ever got a raya from there, says Dain Weiss. He says, because that's referring to a real keli. That's something which is, it's proper. Nobody's going to chuck away a glass keli after having used once. Nobody's going to chuck away a chinaware after having used once. Nobody's going to put it, but a plastic cup, suggests Dain Weiss, is lacking in shame kli. It's not a vessel. It's something which can hold water or any liquid for a bit of time, and afterwards you're going to put it away in the dustbin. So it's lacking because it's disposable. Because it's something which you only use once and then you put it in the bin, it's not a keli. It's lacking in shem keli. So he says, because it's disposable, it's lacking in shem keli. Says the advice, you can't wash it. It's lacking in shem keli. Not the material. If you had plastic, you make a proper plastic keli, you know, hardware plastic, which you're going to hold, you're going to keep, and you're going to, fine, it's good. It's not because it's plastic, it's because it's disposable. Any disposable is lacking in shem keli. So says Dain Weiss.
Some people double them up.
Doubling up. Very interesting you're suggesting that. Rabbi Sai, what do you think? It's very interesting that you're saying that. It's so, so interesting. What do you think about putting two cups together, according to Dain Weiss?
Still disposable.
Oh!
It's got double
value. Yeah. Okay, but I hear it's double value. Some people tend to put two together then. You've seen many times people put two. To see if you put two together, it's maybe better. Now, I tend to agree with you that it will make, according to Dain Weiss, he doesn't speak about it, but I think that according to Dain Weiss, it won't make a difference at all. Because it's intrinsically a disposable item. It's something which you... So now you've got two disposable items, they're both going to end up in the bin. You haven't gained anything by putting two together. In fact, even if you put five together, you still haven't gained anything because they're all disposables. So it's lacking in chshivas because it's disposable. Right, yeah. No. There is a that's what the Shulchan Aruch is mechadash over here in Sim Kuf Nun Tesif Aleph. Ein noitlin yodayim elu bekeli. You need this water that reaches your hands needs to be happening through a keli. That's shchiddush. The reason for that is, as the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot Aleph, which we skipped, and it serves me right that we skipped it, yeah, says, "V'keli das mechina rabbanu la meichatos al meikidish yadayim v'raglayim b'mikdash deboi keli." Just like in the Beis Hamikdash, they needed to do kiddush yadayim v'raglayim through a keli. Similarly, also us when we do tilas yadayim for amotzi, we also need to have it do it through a keli. Yeah. Interesting question. That's a really interesting question. What happens if it's a if it's a disposable, it's the more they sometimes the fancy disposables that wife sometimes washes them up even, yeah. You know, that really defeats that. I don't understand that. But you know the ones that are more choshov, yeah? Even sometimes you can like, do you know what I mean? Like desserts are sometimes in them. Do you know what I mean? They're more choshov. What about those? Still disposable. It's still intrinsically disposable. Yeah, what do you think? Yeah. So there is a bit of a machlokes about those. I heard some rabbonim amatir, and they say the following svara. They say that it is a disposable, but it's only a disposable. Now, I don't know what you think about this svara. I heard the Rav, a famous Rav in Yerushalayim, told me that it's not really it's disposable just because we live in generations that are especially in this area, we're very affluent and we can afford just putting them. We can afford, but really they could last. If everybody would start deciding that we decide we want to keep them for years, and if everybody would just say, you know, if the fact is we'll just stop creating them, you could easily just keep them on the set, wash them up, and keep them, and they would last. So it's not intrinsically something which is lacking in Shem Keli, it's just that we happen to be more affluent and they happen to be produced very, very cheaply. And we can just chuck them. So it's not really lacking in because it just happens to be disposable. Yeah. Okay, it's a smaller one could think about.
That would only work for a plastic cup, yeah. Not for a paper cup.
Probably, yeah. Yeah. So that's a smaller. But either way, what we have got for sure is Dan Weiss, who says that any disposable the regular disposable kelim is lacking in Shem Kelim, you can't use him. However, Ramosha says, no, 1 second here. Ramosha says that there is no, it's not, Ramosha says that he actually addresses the Shaila with regards to Kiddush and Avdola. What about Kiddush and Avdola? Oh, that's very true. So Ramosha brings a raya that with regards to Kiddush and Havdalah, there it's not good enough just to have a kois. The kois needs to be a kois no'eh. It needs to be a more choshuv. It needs to be more an important keli, a more beautiful keli. There he says, for Kiddush and Havdalah, you can't use plastic, even bedieved maybe. But it says, with regards to Netilas Yadayim, he says that a kois, well, it's still considered as kois. It's ultimately lemaisa, you're using it, lemaisa, you can use it, lemaisa, it holds the water. So just because you're going to put it in a dustbin, it doesn't make it ois keli. That's what he says. And therefore, Moshe is matir to use plastic kelim for netilas yodayim. So we've got a machlokes between Dai and Weiss, who holds that plastic kelim cannot be used for netilas yodayim, and Moshe Feinstein, amongst others, hold that actually it's a plastic keli, admittedly, but it's still a meiser. It holds the water, and you could, really, in principle, in theory, you could keep them for longer, therefore it's keli, and you can use them for netilas yodayim. Not for Kiddush Avdalah, but for netilas yodayim. Machlokes Dai and Weiss and Moshe Feinstein. No, from Dan Weiss, if I'm not mistaken, Dan Weiss passes it even b'diavad, I believe. I believe in b'diavad. I think so. Right. So I think that I want to say that. That it turns out, according to the Cheshbon, I think that you're very right, Rav Feingold. I think that there's no point putting two cups together. Because according to Rav Moshe, you don't need to. There's no point putting two cups together. You can use a cup for a tilas yadayim and two. No difference one and two. And according to Dain Weiss, it won't help to put two together. So I think that according to the Cheshbon, it doesn't help putting two cups together. No point putting two. Either you're relying on the Moshe and you're doing it, so you can do one. You're not gaining anything by putting two together. And according to Dain Weiss, you can't do it, and two won't help. I'm not sure about that. Why would you say that? Why does it become mechoshev just by you doubling them up? Does it really become mechoshev? Let's hear. And you're saying that if it's just cold, if it's just
one,
then it's not going to be able to hold hot water. Two will be able to hold hot water. Okay. And you say that makes it into a keli? Ah, that's an interesting svara. That's a very, very interesting svara.
People have
Yeah. But Rabbi Feingold says that it may not be considered a keli, just if it can't hold hot water, it's not considered a keli. It doesn't really fit the purpose. It's not a keli. It's not a full keli. If it can just hold cold water and not hold water, it's not a keli. However, if you put two together, then now suddenly can hold hot water. So therefore, he said there's a reason to put it. It's interesting. It's an interesting spell.
Water and silver.
Pardon?
Cup of hot water and silver. Cup, becher.
Yeah. You can. It's just not very...
You can't hold it.
You can't hold it, yeah. Right.
It's not the point though that it's hot.
Yeah.
Silver can hold.
Yeah.
You might not be able to hold it.
Yeah. Okay. So. Okay. So just going back to the paper cups. What about paper cups? Will be the same machlokes.
No, worse.
Worse. Why are you saying that? According to the advice, it's for sure a problem. You see, even a Moshe may not like it. that it's harder to. They're definitely more disposable than the plastics. No.
Yeah, no.
Right. So you're saying that it's a bit more. Yeah. Right. They're more solid. Most of that as well. That it should be better, maybe. I hear. Okay, I didn't see the post scheme about this. Okay, so that's about being machzik ravias. Okay, the next point is a bit of a new sugya, and we'll have to get clarity in this, but let's just start with the underlying yesoid. So the next point the Shulchan Aruch says is the following. Yeah?
The paper cups, they start after using them a few times, they get soggy.
They get soggy, yeah. So you're saying that it's more disposable. It's more disposable, it would be more of a problem, yeah. So there's a concept of koines mashke which we are introducing now. The concept of koines mashke. Koines mashke means that there is a hole there, that you've got a hole in the cup. Can I just use this form? Okay, you've got a cup that has a hole. We're going to define now what size of hole is going to be a problem. So we all agree that if it's a massive hole, which would be like that size over here, a massive hole, so even if it's, it could hold the revias really, but if you've got a massive hole, we all agree that it's not a good keli and you can't wash with it. But what if it's a tiny hole? So we want to define now what size hole is going to be a problem. And the answer to that is if it's koines mashke. If it's koines mashke, it's a problem. What does koines mashke mean? Shulchan Aruch explains. Vim nikev, if there's a hole there, bekoines mashke, koines mashke literally means bekoines, enters mashke liquid. Dahainu, i.e., shem yosimu oisal mashkim, if you'd put water, liquid in there, yikansu besoichai, water would be able to enter into the cup, tech hanekev through the hole. If the hole is bigger, then liquid would be able to enter there. It's then losing its name, keli, and you cannot wash hands with it. Even if it can hold a revis. In other words, if the hole is big enough that if there would be liquid going here, the liquid would enter the cup, you've got a problem. If you've got a tiny hole, then sometimes, imagine it'd be a tiny hole over here. So if I do like this, it would drip, right? But if I pour water here, would it necessarily go in? Sometimes not, right? If it's a tiny hole, sometimes no liquid will be able to enter, correct? True? So Shulchan Aruch says, if the hole is so small that no liquid would be able to enter, liquid would only be able to exit, but liquid would not be able to enter. That's called koines mashke. If koines enter mashke, liquid, if it's bigger than koines mashke, then the keli is not a good keli. Take something else. But if it's smaller than koines mashke, if it's the hole is so small that liquid will not be able to enter, if it's smaller than koines mashke, then the keli is kosher netile. To recap what we covered tonight, we learned tonight about making sure that you dry your hands before you make a mozi. And we learned also about if you dip your hands in water, then you won't have to dry them. We learned the haschola of the concept of simon kuf nun test, that you need a keli for the tilas yudaim. And the reason for that is because by Beis HaMikdash, the kohanim needed kiddush yudaim raglaim for a keli. Similarly, us, we also need a keli for washing hands. Kol HaKelim Sherem, says the Shulchan Aruch, whatever material it's made out of. And we learned also it needs to be able to hold Erevis. We discussed in great detail the machlokes between Dain Weiss and Remoshe as to whether disposables are acceptable or not. We learned finally the halacha of Koines Mashke. If the hole is bigger than Koines Mashke, then the keli is bottom of Torah's clay. You can't wash until that's a dime. If the hole is smaller than Koines Mashke, then you can use it for until that's a dime.